Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Our friend Duccio is the artist, and this painting currently hangs in the National Gallery in London. But you can quickly see if you look at the painting that right in the middle is Jesus. He's the one with the halo. So these medieval Italian painters, they want to make it really clear, right? You know who Jesus is because of the halo. You got Jesus there in the middle, and here he is healing the man born blind. This is in John chapter 9. We're going to jump into the scriptures in just a moment. But you see Jesus, he's healing this man, and you see the man depicted twice. You see him blind, holding his walking stick, his cane, and then you see the man casting the walking stick to the side, and he's looking up. Originally, this painting was a part of a multi-panel piece, and this is just one panel. The panel to the right depicted Jesus in the Transfiguration, Jesus high and exalted. So we assume here that the man who was born blind, who has been healed by Jesus, is now looking up and worshiping the transfigured and exalted Jesus. So we have Jesus in the middle, and we have the man born blind to his right. And then behind Jesus to his left, we have a crowd of people. And I want you to keep your eyes on that crowd. Because the story, as it unfolds, we call the story of the man healed, the man born blind being healed, or Jesus healing the blind man. But this story is not really about the healing of the blind man. It has a lot to do with what's happening with this crowd behind Jesus. So I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus, but also on the crowd, because what we're going to find this morning is the story is really about something else. When Jesus healed this man born blind, there should have been a party. There should have been a great celebration, but instead what we find is there is an investigation. And what I'd like to do is that I'd like to start right at the end of this story in Luke chapter 9 and read for you just the ending of the story, and then we'll rewind and start over at the beginning. But I want you to catch the ending, because I want you to go into this story with the end in mind. Because even though there should have been a great celebration, the pesky Pharisees, you know about the Pharisees, right? They were that ruling, exalted, religious class of social elites. And they're represented in our painting by those guys in the robes right behind Jesus. And those guys, instead of throwing a party, throw an investigation instead. And so I want you to have that in mind as you hear just the end of our story. So let me read the scriptures right at the end of John chapter 9, and then we'll pray, and then we'll jump into the story. So jumping right to the end, John 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That was the man born blind. They cast him out. And having found him, that was the blind man who's now healed, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Let's pray. Jesus, we believe in you. And as we are gathered here today, Lord Jesus, we worship you as Lord and Savior and King and Healer. Jesus, we believe in you because you have touched our eyes and now we see. Lord, you have touched our lives and now we believe. Lord, we were those that were dead in trespasses and sin. And Lord, as you came into our life, you caused us to become alive. Jesus, we believe in you. And as we are here worshiping on this Sunday morning, Jesus, we're seeking you. We're following hard after you. And Jesus, we ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to us and reveal to us the heart of the Father, that we would continue to grow in faith and in hope and in love as we follow you. And we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The healing of the blind man is not necessarily about his healing. That's not what the story is about. What this story is about is judgment. And so the title of the sermon this morning is from the very words of Jesus, "For judgment I came." Things have begun to get heated up for Jesus. If you back up from John 9 and read chapter 7 and 8 in John's gospel, you will see that the hostility towards Jesus and the pressure on Jesus is being amplified. Jesus has just avoided being stoned because Jesus talks about God as his Father and makes this bold claim that before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was putting himself on the same level as God, and some of the religious leaders wanted to kill him because of that. The pressure was on Jesus. And again, the story begins with a miracle. It begins with a healing that you see on the left side of the painting. But again, I want you to keep your eyes on those pesky Pharisees on the right side. Keep your eyes on them. Look at them with their robes there and their accusing looks, because Jesus has much to say to them. But let's back up our story and start in John chapter 9 and verse 1, verses 1 and 2. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So our story begins not with the Pharisees questioning Jesus, but his own friends, the disciples. The disciples at this point were locked into a very narrow, very strict world of moral right and wrong, good and bad. In this very narrow world that the disciples were trapped in, they saw moral judgment as very simple, very black and white. And they believed in this idea that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. Have you ever encountered anyone like that? You know anyone like that? That's one way of looking at life. That if bad things are happening in your life, it's because you're a bad guy, because you've done something wrong. And conversely, if there's good things in your life, it's because you're a good guy and you're doing the right things. This is a very naive, a very simplistic view of the world, but it was the world that the disciples were trapped in. And in this world, from that kind of worldview, those kind of people can be extremely judgmental. So if they see a bunch of junk in your life, they're going to rush right into judgment and say, well, there's a lot of junk in your heart, right? All this bad stuff and calamity has happened to you because you must have done something wrong. This is the world of the disciples at this point. And so they're asking Jesus, here's a guy who's blind from birth. He's a beggar. Blind people in the ancient world, they couldn't work, and so they depended on the generosity of others. So he lived in poverty as a beggar, and he was blind. And so from their judgmental perspective, they're thinking, well, bad things have happened to this guy. He must be a sinner. Well, either he or his parents, somehow he's being punished. That's why he's blind. So Jesus, who is it? Is it this guy or his parents who sinned? But Jesus didn't live in that narrow, strict world of moral right and wrong, where bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. And so check out Jesus' response in verse 3. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world," catch the words of Jesus here. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus resisted that world his disciples were living in, because Jesus knew the darkness of the world was darker than just that. And Jesus also knew that the light of his love was much brighter than simply boiling everything down to good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. And Jesus here in John 9 challenges the judgmental attitude of his disciples by saying, in essence, if a person is sick or if a person has a disability, you can't blame him or his parents. Then Jesus does what I think in the story is maybe the most surprising thing. We can see as the story unfolds that as this conversation is happening, it's happening right there in the presence of the blind man. His disciples are asking Jesus a question, and then Jesus, as he does, surprises us. The next thing Jesus does is he spits right there in the ground. Oh, he gets, true story. And it gets worse. He bends down and begins to make mud pie, two mud pies, in fact, with the spit and the dirt and the mud. I mean, yeah, this is kind of gross. It's kind of like when you were a kid and you had a little smudge on your cheek and your mom gave you the spit bath. You're the, you know, kind of wiped it off. Come on, come on. Jesus picks up his mud pies of spit and dirt. And at this point, is he going to throw it at his disciples? What is he doing? And he takes that mud and he rubs it in the eyes of the blind man. And tells him, "Now go wash." And when the blind man does what Jesus says, he obeys Jesus. He goes and he washes. As he washes the mud out of his blind eyes, his eyes are opened. It's a miracle. And he comes running back and testifying that he can now see. Well, this then, it gets the attention of all the neighbors. People start running out of their house and hearing all the commotion. Well, what's going on? What's going on? Like, this guy, he was born blind. You remember that beggar that lived in our neighborhood? The guy that always begged at the street corner. You know, he was blind. He can now see. And some of the neighbors are like, no, that's not the same guy. This can't be the same guy. And then this group of people begin to form around Jesus and the disciples. And then, what's going on? How is this possible? And so they asked the guy, because they realized, yeah, you're the guy who's lived in our neighborhood since you were a kid. You've been blind, now you can see. And so he testifies, he tells them what happened, that he met Jesus, that he encountered Jesus, and Jesus made spit mud pies and rubbed it in his eyes, and he washed, and now he can see, and it's all good. And so they're looking for Jesus, of course. They've heard the man's story, now they want to talk to Jesus. Because everything was good. This was exciting. This was great news. Everything was good, except there was one problem. And that was, this event occurred on the Sabbath day. The Lord's day. The holy day of Sabbath and rest. And the religious leaders had a rule. Well, in the law, you rest on the Sabbath. That's what Sabbath means. You don't work, you rest. And the religious leaders had a rule that doing no work on the Sabbath also included the practice of medicine, with or without the spit. You cannot practice medicine. You cannot heal the sick on the Sabbath. Now, that was not recorded in the law of Moses, but that was their rule. And because they were the ruling elite, they were in charge. Their rule was the law. And now the Pharisees are not happy. Yes, this man is receive this miracle of healing. But the Pharisees aren't happy because Jesus has broken their rules. Pick up the story in verse 15. So the Pharisees again asked him, that is the blind man, how he had received his sight. And he said to them, the blind man testifies, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Simple as that. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So a fight broke out among the Pharisees because they were upset. This fight broke out because they had to launch an investigation. How is this possible? We have our rules. We know what it means to keep Sabbath. No healing on the Sabbath day. This should be simple. So how in the world can this miracle happen? Surely this Jesus of Nazareth is not from God. Surely he's a sinner because he broke our rules. But other people were like, Jesus has to be a prophet. He has to be one sent from God. Who else can do a miracle like this? And so this dispute and argument broke out. And so the Pharisees extended their investigation after talking to the man. They had to talk to his family. So they find out where he lives and they knocked on the door of his parents' house and said, is this your son? Yes, this is our son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was born blind. Well, what the heck happened? And the parents, of course, as any parent, experiencing what they did, their son born blind, now being able to see, they secretly believed that yes, Jesus was a prophet, that Jesus was sent by God and did this great miracle. But they said, well, he can now see, but they were afraid to answer fully because again, things were heating up against Jesus. And the rulers of the synagogue had already been throwing people out of synagogue if they ever confessed that Jesus was the king and the Messiah. So the parents, they wanted to testify to Jesus, but they were afraid and they didn't know how to respond, so they kept quiet. So as the Pharisees continued their investigation, they went from the man's house back to the blind man again. And we'll pick up the story in verse 24. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God. See, now they're not just asking legal questions, but religious questions. Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Now you see here these Pharisees, these guys up here in the orange and the green, they've already leveled their judgment. They're in the process of their investigation, but they've already leveled their judgment against Jesus. They say to the man born blind, we know that he is a sinner, but what do you say about him? And the man who has been born blind, who is now healed and now he can see, he says, one thing I know. One thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. The man born blind had met Jesus. He had encountered the living word, the very embodiment of Israel's God, the very embodiment of the creator of the universe. The blind, man born blind met Jesus and left that world of good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. He exited that world where we think innocently that people have, they got to be sinners if they have done things that are wrong. The blind man had been healed not only of physical eyes, but he had been healed of a blindness of heart. He left that judgmental world that wanted to find what people were doing wrong because he had encountered Jesus. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they couldn't see it. The Pharisees remained blind. They couldn't understand how could Jesus be sent from God and not keep the rules, not keep our rules. It made no sense. So as they are working this out among themselves, the man born blind moves from testifying about Jesus to now mounting a defense for Jesus. In verse 30, the story goes on. The man answered the Pharisees as they were disputing among themselves. The man born blind says, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." This encounter with Jesus has transformed this man, and he wants to give credit to Jesus that he's done this great thing because he was sent from God. But the Pharisees remained in their blindness, and for them, that was it. They closed their investigation. They said they have heard enough. And then in verse 34, they answered the man, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. These judgmental Pharisees who belonged to that narrow world where bad things happen to bad people swung the sword of judgment again, but this time took out the man born blind. All he was doing was testifying to the truth, the things that had happened to him, and they cast him out. And when Jesus hears of it, he comes to the man and he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Jesus uses that phrase, Son of Man, to talk about himself. And the blind man doesn't quite understand. And Jesus says, it's me. I'm the Son of Man. Do you believe? And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And then he turns to Jesus. And in the scriptures, it says he worships him. The Pharisees could not see God at work in their blindness and judgmentalism, but this man who just obeyed the words of Jesus saw in him the living God, the Jewish king, the Messiah, the Christ, the one. And so he worshiped him. Then Jesus turns to the crowd. That crowd gathered on the right side of the painting. Jesus then turns from the man in worship to the crowd. And Jesus says in verse 39, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." The Pharisees trusted in their own ability to see and understand how God was at work. They trusted in themselves, but they were more blind than the man born blind. They were blinded by their pride. They were blinded by their arrogance. They were blinded by their knowledge. They were blinded by their own fault-finding judgmentalism. And they were trapped in that. And so Jesus reveals to them what true judgment is. Because that's what they were doing. They like the disciples, wanted to know, who do we blame? Who's at fault? Who do we get to judge? Who is wrong here? Who's the sinner here? And so Jesus wants to show those who are blind, truly blind, what true judgment is. And he has repeated at the very beginning in John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus has already given us a clue where he says, "I am the light of the world." And he has repeated this with his disciples in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus also says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is revealing to those that will hear it, this is judgment, and judgment is light. When Jesus says that it is for judgment that I came into the world, the judgment that Jesus brings is light. It isn't fault-finding, pointing the finger of accusation, that judgmental attitude. That's not true judgment. True judgment is light. The judgment of Jesus is not a judgment of condemnation, but a judgment of light, exposing things for what they are in order to set things right. Jesus is the judge. Do we believe in a God of judgment? Yes. What does that judgment look like? It looks like light. Not hellfire and brimstone, but light. Where things can be exposed for what they are. So you can throw your rock and hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what is done in the dark will be brought to the light. Jesus actually explained this to Nicodemus. A few weeks ago, we were with Jesus and Nicodemus at night when Nicodemus came. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, but he was a seeker of Jesus. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And then Jesus has this to say about judgment. This is John 19. You know John 3:16, but look three verses down. In John 3:19, Jesus says this about judgment. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Jesus has entered into our dark world to blind those that need to be humbled and to give sight to those that need healing. And how we experience the judgment of God has everything to do with how we respond to the light of Jesus. If we love the light and come to the light and allow the light to expose within us what is good and what is bad, then we are transformed by that light. And Jesus says we enter into the kingdom of God, that we inherit eternal life, real life, abundant life, the life of the age to come. But if we reject the light of Jesus because we don't want that light to expose the dark regions of our own heart, then we stay locked in our darkness and our blindedness. And so I want to ask this morning, as you look at this painting with Jesus right in the center, which side of the painting do you identify with? Do you identify with this humble, blind man, willing to believe Jesus, willing to worship Jesus, willing to obey Jesus? Or do you identify with the crowd, with the Pharisees, with their judgmental looks and scowls, still trying to figure out who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad? And my encouragement to you this morning is that you would simply come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and let the light of his love, the light of his judgment, expose things as they are. Because you can trust Jesus. He's the miracle worker. Judgment is not something that we need to fear if we're willing to allow Jesus to expose everything about us. The judgmental attitude of the Pharisees is they were always looking for the sinners out there, for the evil out there, for the bad out there. But the light of Jesus will expose our own hearts and the good and perhaps the dark regions within us. But you can trust Jesus. Yes, when the light of Jesus and his judgment will begin to reveal things to your own heart about things that aren't right within you, there's going to be some work that needs to be done. And sometimes it can be painful. But listen, this is the work of Jesus in setting the world right. If Jesus is going to set the world right, it begins with Jesus setting me right. Because as we look out into the dark world, it's easy to point the finger of blame. But it's like Chesterton said years ago when he wrote that letter. I think it was to the London Times. And there was a question, what's wrong with the world? And Chesterton wrote, dear sirs, I am what's wrong with the world. The light of the judgment of Jesus shines bright. And if you come to that light, you'll find it and experience it to be a transforming light. So come. Come to Jesus. And you have the opportunity this morning to come to Jesus. As we come to the table of communion, we have the opportunity to meet with Jesus. On the night when Jesus was arrested, he took bread. He was with his disciples and he took bread. And giving thanks, he blessed it. He broke that bread and he shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you." And Jesus on that night, he grabbed a cup. And when he held the cup, he said, "This is the blood of the covenant, my very blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." And in doing so, Jesus has given us a sacred meal by which we can continue to connect with him so that we can experience the life-changing transformation of walking in the light of his love. And so all you have to do is come with faith, with humility, and maybe you're not sure about all this stuff. Maybe you don't even know if you believe. I say, come with what little bit of faith you have. If you've heard enough, if you've seen enough to just have just a little bit of faith, then come. Come encounter Jesus at the table. I believe you'll never be the same. Stand up with me if you would, and we'll prepare ourselves to come to the table.